You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined every Friday by Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the fabulous multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. If you don't subscribe, you should. Mm-hmm. Right before we went to the top of the hour news, we were talking about a new measure being that has bipartisan support in Wisconsin for more sports betting.
Sports betting.
More sports betting. Is this good?
Online sports betting, making those bets on your phone.
On your phone.
As if we weren't stressed out enough about the Packers, we have to add.
Look at that now. And it just amazes me, again, the amount of things that you can bet on.
Yeah. Some of these hyper-specific things that would never even cross
my mind.
Yeah. Well, that one of the things there, like in the NBA, that this one player got knocked on for, he got kicked out of the league now for permanently. This guy, Jontay Porter, he was like a kind of an end of the bench guy, but like it was a situation where he was betting on himself, and it was like this is how hyper-specific these things are. It was like an over-under on how many rebounds he would have in a game, and it was like 1.5. And he was like, well, I'm going to take myself out of the game so I don't have any rebounds. And then people bet the under on it. And then he got a federal indictment.
We have a couple of texts that I... it's just so complicated. I would be exhausted trying to watch something and keep track of that stuff.
Yeah.
Chris from Blue River texting in, sports betting? I do not. I am deeply concerned with the explosion in sports betting across our country. Have we learned nothing from the 1919 Chicago Black Sox scandal? Are we not seeing the same thing come to fruition now in the NBA and Major League Baseball? Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time before this gets even more problematic across all leagues. And the same thing's going to be happening with the addition of NIL in the college rank. This has feces smeared all over it. There is no way to polish this turd. And Travis from
colorful
Greenfield.
Description there.
Well, yeah,
from
Travis
from the text
Greenfield
line.
Listening on WAUK. I don't agree with gambling. I think it's ruining the impartiality that sports is supposed to bring. I question why it's okay to go somewhere to gamble as opposed to doing it at home. In my opinion, if I have to leave my comfort zone to do it, I'm less likely to do it.
This is
just making it easier.
That's the argument that I do think is interesting, because I think, you know, pulling this stuff out of the shadows and you know, it's like the marijuana debate. Like it's happening. You can go to Illinois
and buy what you want. Yep.
And you can buy some weed and play some sports bets and come back to Wisconsin. And then I don't know, whatever. But So it is that argument, too. So I see that piece of it. But I do wonder if, like, making people go in person to make these bets, and it's just like, if you really want to do it, you can go do it. There are places to go do it.
Personal freedom.
That you can't just sit on your phone watching the game and just like pick up, I'm going to bet on the Packers today or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe there should be that extra step. But at the same time, it's just so prevalent everywhere. And I think it is better to be doing this in a place where there is, I would just like tax the bejesus out of it and just bring in as much revenue from these types of things. They used to call these sin taxes, right? When they would tax like cigarettes and alcohol and whatever else. Do the same thing with sports gambling. If we're going to do it, have very high taxes on it if you're going to do it online. And then if you don't want the high taxes on it, go do it in person. I think that would be fine. For me.
Well, that would be something.
Yeah.
Calvin, I'm curious, because I think for your generation in particular, I think a lot of younger men are doing a lot of sports betting. What do you hear among your friends? Is this a big thing?
It's not a big thing, but I think I have uniquely cheap friends in that regard.
So they don't want to spend their money on gambling.
Yeah, really, that's what it comes down to. I mean, we've all played a little at times because, like, it's complicated. Like Dan said, you can't full on sports bet in Wisconsin, but you can do like player prop type things. I've won some money doing it, but you got to really be paying attention, and like it's not as much fun as it sounds.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It also just sounds
it really does.
It just sounds stressful to me. The betting thing just makes me like anxious because like there are people out there who can do the research, who can get down in the spreadsheets and look at all the stats and do the best they can to make. I don't do any of that. When I there's a reason why I don't play poker. I just hand you $20 and get there. You go, have fun.
Yeah.
And the fantasy side of it too, it just seems absolutely overwhelming. It's just all betting for me is just a no. I just do not do it, and I'm baffled by those who do. And to me though, what you're saying, Dan, though, is like it's happening,
right?
Just make it legal then and tax it and make some money, but let's stop pretending it doesn't exist or that it's so bad but not bad enough.
Well, and this leads to the hemp legislation,
mm-hmm.
because that same Republican lawmaker who is all apparently about this expanding gambling.
I forget who exactly is behind the gambling stuff, but yeah.
From yesterday.
We Jim Piva.
Oh, he's part of the gambling thing too. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I thought you just mentioned him.
He was the DPI guy.
Oh, the
he
DPI, did DPI guy. Yeah.
Gambling
Sorry,
with
I'm
somebody
confused.
Else.
Yeah. The hemp legislation.
Yeah.
They snuck this in on the federal level.
They sure did.
In order to reopen the government.
They sure did.
And there are also efforts now on the state level.
Yeah. So there was kind of this, it's very confusing, and I'm still discombobulated about this. So if I get something wrong here, forgive me. But there was this effort to create some sort of regulation around the, you know, cannabis related industry in Wisconsin,
the hemp industry,
hemp, CBD, mm-hmm. Delta, whatever, to have some sort of regulation on it because Wisconsin had nothing.
Right.
We've had nothing. There's no, you know, obviously we don't have recreational or even medicinal legal marijuana in Wisconsin. And so they were going to have something governing this. And I think it was like they were talking about it, like regulating it like alcohol and this like tiered system and whatever. And this was like progressing through the state legislature. But then the federal thing comes through and I think makes all of the work that was happening in the state legislature irrelevant, mm-hmm. Best I can understand. Because if I'm reading what is in that bill at the federal level correctly, it is going to ban all of these products by the end of next year.
Yes.
And so that all of, and I think I saw a link in Wisconsin today that it was like it's become a $700 million industry in the state. Like these shops are everywhere. People generally seem to be good with it. Like, I don't know. But at the same time, again, I think, you know, bringing this stuff, like having an actual regulated practice behind it, taxing it, mm-hmm. putting that towards something, whatever. Like Colorado has had like legal weed for a long time. They're putting billions of dollars into their school system through it. Mm-hmm. And so we should have that type of practice. These things should be legal, and it's so shady. And it makes people so distrusting in government when these types of things happen, when they just sneak this in at the 11th hour.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, there was reporting suggesting that the alcohol lobby threw a ton of money at this to try to get this into the bill. Mitch McConnell was the recipient of that in a lot of ways, I believe.
For why? He's retired. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Well, but you can always make money on the way out the door. Come on.
And, like, you even had a number, like, this was a standalone, I think, amendment to the initial bill. You had a lot of Democrats voting to get rid of this, too. Like, Tammy Baldwin wasn't one of them, thankfully. But, like, you had a lot of Democratic senators voting for that amendment to ban it.
But
like,
did they know that was in there?
Yeah.
They did.
They did by the time that they voted on
they
it.
They read it. They knew that was in
there.
Well,
that part I don't know. I mean, we can't presume everything there, but it was.
I think they should be required to do a report that they actually read the legislation. I want your cliff notes after you read the 900-page bill.
Yeah. And to his credit, Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, was sounding the alarm on this from the very beginning.
Yes.
Because he is, you know, a very much more a libertarian type of Republican, mm-hmm. and saying that, like, we just don't need government involved with this. Like, this is an actual industry. Let's just get government out of the way and let people the freedom to buy and sell what they choose.
Well, and as you said, these outlets are all over the state.
Yeah.
Employing, I would imagine, hundreds of people.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
And that lawmaker,
that came Jim Pivovarczyk.
Jim Pivovarczyk came up yesterday when we were talking to Aaron Kelly, who owns Kelly's Greens Wauwatosa, that sells seltzers and cupcakes and all those things.
Yep. I always see him at farmers markets.
Yeah. he's all against this. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then he blamed the business owners for taking advantage of this.
They took a gamble on what was going on. And now it's,
well, too bad, so sad.
Yep, yeah.
That's essentially what he said.
But he's also using children as the reason why we need to...
it's protecting the kids. Protecting
because
our children.
There's root beer flavored CBD. Well, if it's a reputable organization with a license to practice their business, they are not going to allow people under 21 in to sell or to even be a part of it. If I'm mistaken, you can't even be under 21 and get in. But it's like owning a bar. You have something on the line if you serve someone underage. And to do that makes no sense. So just the idea that they're like a 12-year-old walking to a gas station buying some cigarettes, that's not what's happening here. These places have cameras, they have licenses, they care about their business and their reputation. So using kids as this, like, we got to protect kids, that's not what we're talking about right now.
And then again, if you are so concerned about our children, then I'm assuming that you're putting all kinds of pressure on our legislative Republicans who are in Washington to vote for the release of the Epstein files and to look at more seriously some gun safety measures. Well, if we're really, really worried about this safety, protecting our children that we hear all the time, then let's see some of that.
Yeah, well, make a good faith argument for once, Republicans. Mm-hmm. There's a first time for everything. They make so many bad faith arguments on so many of these different things. It's just preposterous. And it's so frustrating because it just gets in the way of progress. It just gets us into these circular arguments that we're having on this. Just get the government out of the way of this. Just we're surrounded by every other state that has legal marijuana. We're surrounded by these other states that have online sports betting, whatever it is. If we're going to do it, regulate it and get the tax revenue and make it so that it's not happening in the dark, but just leave people alone.
What about the free market?
Yeah.
What happened to the free market? There's a buyer for this. Therefore, we should trade it.
But their argument would be, well, the free market would say if it becomes illegal, you took the chance on doing that. Therefore, now that you're out of business, that's your doing because, you know, they can work their way around against any argument. But honestly, when they going back to the whole kids thing is the flimsiest. It sounds like someone in the 1950s, like, oh, what about the kids? What about the kids? We have far more things for kids to be worried about with kids than weed. There's a whole list of things. And by the way, we talked about this yesterday. When you poll Americans, when you poll Wisconsinites, a lot of us agree that marijuana should be legal. If you poll Wisconsinites on this topic, it will be overwhelmingly in favor of keeping them open.
I believe it's 70-30 for legalizing recreational marijuana, somewhere around there. And then for medical marijuana, it's like an 85% support issue in Wisconsin. I would imagine like the CBD, you know, kind of approach – the kind of hemp derived, I get lost in the technical lingo of this, but that same type of thing would have the same level of support, I believe.
Call Robin Voss. Talk to him about it. MyVote.wi.gov. Call our lawmakers. Let them know what you think. They work for us, shockingly. We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area, joins us every Friday to kick all things around. We didn't have a lot of time to talk about this, but this is important, and we mentioned it briefly yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
ICE, of course, focusing on all the worst of the worst people. When they rappelled from a Black Hawk helicopter into an apartment building in Chicago, kicked in doors, dragged children from their beds, zip-tied them. This was because they were all Venezuelan gang members, right, Dan?
Yeah, this was what they were saying, that the authorities were saying that these trendy Aragua terrorists were had taken over this apartment building in the south side of Chicago. I mean, saying these sentences out loud is just so outlandish. It doesn't even feel real.
I know.
This is what our government did.
Yes.
They kicked down doors and they zip tied children and dragged them out of their homes in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And sat them in the street for hours on end. And they said that they were doing this because they were coming after the worst of the worst. They were coming after this Venezuelan terrorist gang, right?
And don't forget, Kristi Noem and her department used this as a video opportunity to make a promotional video.
Yeah. This was for content.
This was for yes.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. This was for content so they could put this on social media and say, look how tough our administration is. Look at these terrible people we're bringing in.
Right.
But there's a caveat.
Caveat to that. So reporting from ProPublica published yesterday, I'll just read what they put in the tweet because it's pretty descriptive. Agents rappelled from a Black Hawk helicopter in a massive show of force. Authorities said trendy Aragua terrorists had taken over the building. But after the cameras were gone, federal prosecutors did not charge anyone.
No one.
Zero people were charged in what they did this raid on. This is absolutely ridiculous. They are trampling the Constitution. They are terrorizing and traumatizing children and neighborhoods for nothing.
For promotional videos.
For promotional videos.
That's what they're doing it for. That's
for
what
fascist
they're doing it
promotional
for.
Videos. This it is absolutely ridiculous. I think this should be one of the biggest stories in the country right now. I think it is what is happening in Chicago with ICE is so far beyond unacceptable. I can't even wrap my head around it. It is trampling the Constitution. It is getting rid of due process. What is, you know, some of these reports coming out of Chicago on a day-to-day basis, they're going after daycare workers.
Yes.
They're going after Girl Scouts.
Yes.
They're not going after the worst of the worst.
No, because they have a quota they have to fill.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stephen Miller came out with a quota of 3,000 people a day. Doesn't matter who they grab, doesn't matter what their backgrounds are, doesn't matter how long they've been here. There have been a few cases where some Republican lawmakers have actually stepped in because some of the people that were grabbed had connections to them somehow, and they've stepped in and saved those people. But apparently, if you don't have connections, yeah, you're out of luck.
Yep.
There should be congressional hearings on this.
Absolutely.
Like if Democrats, you know, take back the House or win the majority in the Senate, these people need to be on trial for what happened in this type of raid. And not just this one. This is just the tip of the iceberg with what's happening in Chicago. They made a big show of force out of it. So there is going to be extra attention to it. There's so much good reporting happening in Chicago. I applaud these journalists, but it just seems so far beyond insane of what people were saying would be the worst fears of a Trump administration. And now we are seeing it realized to our neighbors to the south.
This is to normalize stuff like this.
Yeah.
This is to normalize it. So when it happens into the building next door to you, you're not going to be freaked out about it. This is an effort to normalize this kind of thing and make us not immune, but less reactive.
And they say they want to bring this to other cities.
Oh, yeah.
And they also want to make it so when you see it, you know your place. Get inside. Don't cause a problem. Don't try to do anything. And if you are a whatever version of American they deem correct, you just keep your mouth shut because it can happen to you next.
Jack from Merrimack. Jack, you get the last word on this. We got a couple minutes left. What did you want to say?
Sure. Armed agents claiming to be authorized by the government, but they're wearing uniforms you can get at a costume shop.
Yes.
Masked, unwilling or unable to show government ID, no judicial warrants, no probable cause more than skin color or tattoos, no due process. They abduct people, whomever they wish, sometimes forcibly. They take them from homes, workplaces, churches, schools, even courtrooms where they're following the law to update their legal status. And they send them off to wherever they feel like and hold them incommunicado. And you know what? Accidentally, of course, hundreds of those abducted have been American citizens.
Yes.
And that doesn't, you know, you think everybody feels safer now? Just a few years ago, this would be called kidnapping. Oh, and by the way, what about the women who have been abducted by the quote-unquote unauthorized agents?
Oh, yeah.
Pretending to be.
Oh, yeah, Jack. There have been cases like that where, again, you can buy some of this stuff over the internet, these vests and this identifying stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes, there have been cases where men are posing as ICE agents and then abducting and assaulting women.
This is something 10 years ago we would talk about in other countries.
Yeah, this shouldn't be happening here, but it is. We have news coming up next. When we return, yes, we're going to take a break. And get away from the news and have a little audio sorbet so we can all take a collective breath.
I think we need it.
Take a cleansing breath during the news. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board can be due from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here. He joins us on Fridays. Creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet.
There they are.
The harps, where we get away from the news, take a breath, talk about sillier, lighter things so we all don't crack up. It's pretty much for me. This is why we do this. Keep me sane.
Wow.
On the edge of sane.
Wow.
Yes, big news this week that we didn't get to. The U.S. just produced its last penny after more than 200 years. In a penny-pinching move from NPR. The U.S. Mint has produced its last one-cent coin, the final penny minted in Philly on Wednesday, 232 years after the first one rolled off the production line. The government said it decided to stop making new pennies. Each one costs almost 4 cents to make.
And they weren't made totally of copper either.
Not for a long time.
I think they're mostly made of
nickel.
Nickel? No. Wow, it's just not a bad investment. I have a lot of thoughts on this, believe it or not.
You do?
I do.
Penny for your thoughts, Greg.
No, it's 5
now
cents.
It's now it's a nickel.
It's 5 cents. It's gone up. Thanks, Biden's economy. Comedy. So I feel like we don't need the penny because when I went to England, I found how just wonderfully streamlined their coin system is. It's like you don't have a dollar bill, you have a dollar coin. Get rid of the dollar bill, I say that too. Get a dollar coin. Mm. I don't know what pays for anything with a penny nowadays other than exact change. You can't pay tolls with pennies. You can't. I don't think there are any penny gumball machines left. I feel like we don't need the penny, and we need to streamline the way we do our coinage currency. We should have a 25-cent piece, a 50-cent piece, a dollar piece, and that's it. No, don't even need a nickel or a dime. Just make it all, I don't know. I'm very like utilitarian in that sense. Like I feel like the nickel, the dime, and the penny are
penny, don't need them.
Pointless at this point. Jane has.
Now I'm at the age where I kind of feel like it's a win if I can do the 37 cents. It's something at $1.37 and I reach in my pocket and look, I have a quarter in it. Ooh, I've become that old lady.
Oh, you're like right. You're like one step below the person who says, "Can I write a check for that?" Like, oh, we're gonna be here for a while, everybody.
Writing a check for like a carton of eggs or something.
No, I mean, I guess I understand. Certainly, if it's costing 4 cents to make, that's kind of a bad investment.
Yeah.
And they say again, according to this article from NPR, if you have a jar of pennies on your dresser, because a lot of people have been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
Saving pennies. Don't worry, pennies are still perfectly legal for making payments. But of the more than $1 billion worth of pennies in circulation, most of them never circulate.
Yeah. I mean, do you even pick up a penny now? Like, I get happy when I see a quarter on the ground. I still feel like that's a win. Like,
see, maybe it's an age thing.
Only if it's heads up, though. Otherwise, it's bad luck.
Okay.
All right. Really?
If it's tails up and you didn't realize you were bad luck. I don't know.
I think I doomed myself a couple times. I didn't know that was a rule.
Honestly, do either of you have any I think it's moving forward. I know they've been talking about this for a long time, whether or not we should just even have this anymore. And this is one where I didn't hear any outcry from anyone, even like people from Illinois, because Lincoln is on the penny and all that stuff. He's got his own piece of paper too. But like, this feels like, yeah, okay, let's do this. It's fine.
We'll be fine without it.
Yeah.
People were ready for it, I guess. Yeah, I don't
know. Any feelings about the pennies? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. PJ on the live stream says, I rarely carry cash anymore. Mm-hmm. I use my debit card pretty much everywhere. Yeah. You and a lot of people, PJ, don't even carry cash anymore.
Yeah. And when I was in England this summer, people don't even carry debit cards there anymore or credit cards. Everything's on your phone. It's all the tap to pay on your phone for everything.
That one we talked about
a while ago. And now I've started doing it now that
you have.
I was doing it all week when I was in England, and then I came back and I was like, well, I can just do it here too, right?
And towards the end of your trip, you're like, let me get my phone to tap that in, governor. I do have, like, as a side quest on that one, and we talked about this too in the past, and I remember someone bringing this up, is that what's funny enough is I heard Werner Herzog talking about this. He had to get a phone. His people had to buy him a phone because he went to an interview where he had to park his car, and the car park only took tap phone to get in and out. So he had to get a smartphone for that. And I feel like that's a bit much.
Yeah.
You are forcing people to buy a huge, expensive piece of technology to interact. That is
just to live.
Not a big fan of that one. And it's like when you go to a place that's like cashless or a place that's only cash, you're like, come on, man.
855-752-4842. Talking about the end of the penny. John from Milwaukee has been waiting very patiently. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us. John, are you there?
John.
All right. Calvin, we'll move on to Sam from Eau Claire. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about the lowly penny?
Well, I'm just saying it's ridiculously stupid to be making a penny if it's going to cost 4 cents to make a penny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ridiculously stupid, and the government needs to rethink a lot of things they're doing. I mean, a lot of things, and you know, like Quick Trip is rounding things off to the nearest nickel. That should be fine with everybody, you know. And government should reconsider a lot of things and rethink a lot of things about the way they do things and how they raise stamp prices 2 or 3 cents at a time. Just raise it a nickel or a dime at a time, you know? It's still a hell of a good deal. I don't know what stamps are these days, but you can send a letter from here to California for, 79 cents?
Yeah.
Still a damn good deal.
Darn right.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Sam. Thanks for checking in. Yes, I think there are many things the government could do much better than they do.
I don't think anyone has said it more simply and more beautifully than Sam from Eau Claire. Just, they need to do things differently. Yeah, they do, buddies. Yes, they do.
Talking about the demise of the penny, we stopped making pennies because they cost 4 cents to make and they're worth a penny. Judy from East Troy texting in, goodbye, penny loafers. I remember penny loafers. You guys probably don't.
I remember. Jane, you're not, okay, again, there are three generations between the three of us, and I'm not that far away from you. I remember penny loafers.
You do remember penny loafers?
Yes, I do.
Because if you got the loafer and then you had to put it the coin in there and that completed your
shoe. That's why they called it that?
Yeah, it completed your shoe. Liz from Saukville texting in, listening on WAUK. I don't carry cash either. My husband, though, he does. And has to give the exact change back to the penny. I feel badly because people standing in line get mad at him. Just pick it up.
Well, I mean, hey, getting rid of the penny, how am I going to pay back my enemies in spite? How am I going to go to like to the IRS and say, oh, I owe you $10,000? Here's $10,000 in penny, Mr. IRS.
You can still do that.
I can still do that.
Nickels.
I have a big a jar of coins as well that I've been. It's funny because I used to fill that thing up like once a year, every year and a half. Now it's I've had that thing half empty or half full, depending on how you see life, for like 2 years because I just no longer work in any industries that give me cash as like tips. Or when I work for the barbershop, it was all in cash. I paid my taxes, but I used to have tons of coins all the time. And now I'm in the same boat. I can't remember the last time I carried cash as a payment system other than someone giving me some money. And then I immediately just would throw it into the bank and give it put it there. Yeah. Yeah.
Put it in a big cup and take it to the bank and change it out and have your beer money for the weekend. That's what I did in college, at least.
And it never adds up to as much as you think it will.
No, what do you mean?
Change jars.
Change jars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change jars.
Okay.
Because I would think there's got to be $700 in there.
Have you ever gotten a big payout?
I would say the most was probably around $300, which isn't bad, but it's very heavily quarter dependent.
Yes. And
it's very quarter dependent.
Mine was about $475.
That's
mostly
a lot.
Mostly quarters as well. A few 50-cent pieces in there. Sacagawea dollar. But yeah, I just think that we should totally redo our coin currency as well. I don't think we need the dollar bill anymore. I think we should have a dollar coin.
But
we do have one that's just regularly used.
Well, the one they screwed up big time when we tried the dollar coin because it was almost exactly the same size as a quarter.
Right.
Which meant that we were spending them like quarters. Why they didn't make it a larger size is confusing to me.
Isn't that Canada does that too? Right?
Oh, their penny looks exactly like ours. Yeah. And there's nothing more embarrassing than when you're at a place and you do pay. They're like, this is a Canadian penny. I'm like, we're really close to them. It's fine.
But I mean, my husband and I go to England because he's British. And mm-hmm. We usually go there once a year.
Yeah.
And we end up with so much change. Mm. That I'll be at the airport buying snacks just to use up all the pound change that mm-hmm. we have because it adds up after a while.
Yeah.
It really does. 855-752-4842, talking about the end of the penny. We're not making them anymore.
Okay, I want to plug one thing not penny related.
Certainly.
While we're here, though. This week at the Recombobulation Area, we published an interview.
With who?
With me and the lovely and talented Jane Matinair.
Oh.
Jane is, as we've mentioned, she is retiring next month, and we are celebrating that. And to do that, to reflect on Jane's 44 years in radio, we sat down to talk about it. I wrote a feature story that's kind of a companion piece with it. So if you enjoy listening to me and Jane talk here every Friday as we recombobulate every Friday here, please go check that one out. I had such a wonderful time talking with you about that and putting the piece together and everything. And you're the best, Jane. Oh. And this is just a wonderful celebration of your career. So please go check it out.
It was delightful. Mm-hmm. You did such a great job, Dan. You really did. Can you just write my obituary before I drop?
Here is a list of Jane's enemies.
I have some specifications.
Can I write your burn book next?
Oh, that would be great. It is a wonderful piece. You mm-hmm. made me look really good. I really appreciate that. Tammy from Heartland is on the line. Tammy, you get the last word on this. We're just about out of time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. I agree with the penny. Just way too expensive to produce.
Yeah.
But in defense of money, you know that every time you use a digital form of payment, if it's a credit card or a debit card, you know, you're getting charged extra money many times mm-hmm. in many restaurants.
Yep.
Yep.
And then on top of that, you're getting charged interest on your statements. So there is a true benefit to using cash versus digital.
That's a
really
good point.
They charge you less
for
gas when you get cash.
Also, if you're a criminal and you're on the run, you don't want to use credit cards because then they can find you. I've heard from people say that. I don't know that that's true.
Oh, we have a heist meeting after this. Sorry. Okay.
Right. Don't be late for the heist meeting. We're going to wrap it up when we return with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the This Bud's for You edition. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on Monday, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will be here for a little recap of the weekend news. A lot of things seem to break by the time we get off the air.
Yeah, everything starts to come out around 11:01.
Yeah, there's always a news dump on Friday. So Sholly will join us on Monday in hour number one to do a little recap of the weekend news. In hour number two, I am very much looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. Brian Walsh of Vox is going to join us. And we're going to talk about why we respond so much more to bad news and negativity than we do to stories about good news and positivity.
This came out of a conversation that the two of us had before the show where I was just talking about, you know, if I go to a restaurant and have a good time or if I have a bad time and I tell you, that could be like a 30, 45 minute conversation. If I say, hey, I went to this restaurant, it was really good, you'd be like, yeah, it was great. And that's it.
And that's the end of the discussion.
Somehow negativity tends to generate things in us, and I want to figure out where that starts and how we can change the conversation. And
it's not healthy.
It's not healthy. It's not helpful. And honestly, I think we can connect on better things as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a good, like, bad customer service story, but I don't want it to, like, tinge my day.
And this plays along with algorithms and what we watch on YouTube what we watch on the internet. And the rage baiting works.
Yes, it does.
Rage baiting.
Confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias also works and is very successful. So we're going to talk about why we seem to be so much more attracted to negativity than positivity.
Yeah.
That's coming up Monday in hour number two. Should be a very interesting discussion.
Absolutely.
Right now, Calvin, we are approaching 10:55. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think this should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from Dexerto.com.
God bless you.
Thank you. James Busby has the byline. The headline reads, 150-year-old beer from Arctic Expedition opened to create a brand new version. A 150-year-old bottle of beer originally brewed for a Victorian Arctic Expedition is set to be reopened so they can make a modern version. The BBC says the rare bottle of Alsop's Arctic Ale was created in 1875 for Sir George Nares's North Pole mission. The beer was designed to withstand extreme cold, alcohol content 9%.
Whoa!
6 times the calories of regular beer to sustain sailors in freezing conditions. The bottle was later found in some garage in Shropshire, England.
Shropshire.
And sold at auction in 2015 for almost $4,200 to the founder of the brewery Innes and Gunn. They now plan to open it during the brewing process to analyze yeast and the flavor profile before using it to make a new limited edition beer. In collaboration with Alsop's Brewery, it will be called the Innes and Gunn 1875 Arctic Ale.
It's only going to cost you $75 a bottle.
Right.
For a beer.
Jamie Alsop, the founder of the revived Alsop's Brewery and a direct descendant of Sam Alsop, called the idea a kind of alchemy, describing the original beer as one of the strongest and most extraordinary beers ever made.
Okay, all right. Y'all ever had a high life? It's pretty good.
Alsop's Arctic Ale was first brewed for the British Arctic Expedition of 1875. Surviving bottles are now considered some of the rarest in brewing history. The recreated version will also have 9% alcohol content.
Yeah, that's a double. That's a double IPA, a good double IPA.
And will be released later on this year through a limited ballot for collectors and enthusiasts, so you might not be far off with that $75
It's going to be
bottle.
Very expensive. I mean, we're coming up on Black Friday, and there are a lot of breweries that release their one-day Black Friday
their special
events.
Stuff.
They're $20-$25 a bottle. Some, I mean, when I worked for a certain brewery in Milwaukee, there was a $100 bottle that was 5 years aged. And it is it can be an expensive thing to do. And that's why I'm telling you right now, if you care little to none about beer culture and you hear someone say, well, this one is a recreation of a recipe from 1878, walk away, because that's going to be another 60 to 75 minutes of your life where you're going to have to be talked about flavor profiles and hop selection. And what were they doing? Run away. Just run away. Grab a High Life. Enjoy your day.
Advice to live by.
There you go.
Greg Bach. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the live stream and for listening. It genuinely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a very little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. Good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.